First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed in a...
Hello and welcome to the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, August 13th, 2023. I'm Larry Rhodes, or DJ Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's me, I'm the Wombat.
And for a special guest today, we have John Richards, all the way from England.
Hello, welcome. I'm not a Wombat. I'm not a Wombat.
Oh, you're not a Wombat. Well,
we don't have them.
We can't all be that lucky.
We have rats and mice, but no Wombats.
Yeah, and hopefully Joe Pirate Hicks will join us in a bit.
I just realized that the word not actually has a T at the end of it. We've been doing it wrong this whole time, Larry. We've been doing it wrong this whole time. Not. That's the how you pronounce it. Now I know. Now I know.
Okay.
Not a wombat versus I'm not a wombat. No. It's like, oh.
Get some consonants.
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you are in England or even northern New York. You'll just drop those T's altogether.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of water bottles behind you. That's like,
and of course, in France, it's actually against the law to pronounce any of the last six letters of a word.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains a lot. Now I understand.
Anyway, Digital Freethought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, rational thought, free thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion. We've got religious faith, Pastafarianism, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Even here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us. We're the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, and we'll tell you more about us after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around. Wombat, what's our topic today?
What's your end goal, atheists? What do you really want? But we're going to get into that. I want to do a quick little catch up, starting with our own John Richards. John Richards, how you been? I hadn't seen you in last week due to a disc golfing venture with some friends. How you been since then?
Yeah, we all missed you last week.
Aw, that's sweet.
We took the opportunity to put our feet up and have some time off.
Nice. what was your particular feet up relaxation highlight?
Well, normally it would be a bit of cricket, maybe, and possibly only as a spectator, you understand.
Okay. I was about to ask. How did, by the way, you said Australia was playing, and did they do well or not? Did your bets work?
It was a fantastic series. You know, it was the test series, which is fought for an urn that is literally that big. You know, in all the other competitions, they have an enormous trophy that you can barely lift.
Sure.
Well, this is the size of an egg cup.
Okay.
Okay. But it's regarded, it's not what it is, it's what it represents that matters.
And two wildly blistering things that I'm taking for granted in this conversation is the word urn for, I guess, trophy. Is it the same thing? No, it's urn.
Not
Larry, can you help me? Are you familiar with that term?
When I hear urn, I think of cremation and remains.
Same. Oh, so it's a lot like that. So they get cremated remains of somebody, and then an egg cup, the size of an egg cup. You should know what the size of an egg cup is. I was like, oh yeah, egg cups. Of course, I see them every day. You know, I'm all about my egg cups. When I hold an egg, I'm like, where's my cup? I can't hold this with my bare hands. All right, go ahead. Where's my ketchup? Well,
it's a container that's it's got a base, a stem, and then a bowl, which is
So it's a tiny, tiny little guy.
Well, I'm defining an urn.
Like it's like a goblet, though, right? It's okay.
Very similar to a goblet, yeah. But this one is a little tiny. It's made of clay, I believe, you know, baked clay. And the thing about it is that it contains some ashes. So it is very much like a cremation urn in miniature, but the ashes are said to be of the bales. Those are the little pieces of wood on top of the stumps that you mustn't disturb, otherwise you will lose your opportunity to bat. So
those are little horizontal pieces on top of the vertical one.
That's okay. Right. Yeah, okay. You got it. And what happened, I don't know, 100 years ago, was for the first time ever, Australia, which, you know, had only recently been populated by convicts, which we...
I like the little giggle. Go ahead. We know there are other people in Australia before you guys dropped to convicts, right? Yes. Okay, yes. Yeah. There's a little bit of history that they don't teach as much. But yeah, continue. Yeah.
Bit like America in that respect.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But we deported the people that we disapproved of to Australia. And after a few generations, they'd grown enough to have actually generated a cricket team. And they had the effrontery to try and play us. And, of course, season after season, we beat them until one day, one year, I should say, Australia actually beat the English team. And back home here, the headline was "Cricket has died."
Wow!
So the bales, the little horizontal pieces of wood on top of the vertical stumps, they were burned, and the ashes were put in this urn to signify the death of English cricket. And every 4 years now, we compete to win.
Hubris.
We compete.
If you don't win, it's dead.
Exactly. Yeah. So every 4 years now, we compete against Australia to win these very prized ashes. Okay.
Okay. And in the clay. It's not like a cup of clay. No.
It's they're crumbled up and they're inside the little urn with a lid on it. Yeah.
Got it. And you're trying to get back all the ashes to resurrect. Cricket in some sort of like religious fashion. You'll
damn it, we want to win back our ashes.
You got to get back your ashes. That's it. I see. So it's a personal stake. That's a very interesting story.
Let me answer your question, which is that the recent series is called a test series, and there's 5 matches, each of which can last 5 days long. And the recent series was phenomenal. It was edge of the seat stuff. We were there biting our fingernails, wondering who was going to win. And it was a draw because we won 2, they won 2, and the middle was drawn. The middle one. So,
okay.
But because we didn't beat them, they kept the ashes.
Oh, so it's one set of ashes. They don't even make a new trophy. It's like the Stanley Cup. We got to get our trophy back. We're doing another competition.
No.
That's hardcore stakes.
I think, I'm not sure whether the ashes travel with the winner. So maybe
your secret weapon
in Lourdes, the London Cricket Ground, North London Cricket Ground. Or maybe they travel. Perhaps if you win them, you get to take them home and bring them back next time. I don't know.
Good point. Next time, just pray more.
Yes.
Because that never fails. The winner always is the person that prayed to God to win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always fails when I want a parking space, though. God never helps me out there.
Well, you know, the God of parking spaces is a very tiny office. It's backed up, you know. It is what it is. Larry, would love to check in with you. How you been, my friend?
Oh, fine. I took my motorcycle out last weekend after the show. Well, when we would have had a show. And I rode for 3 hours, and it was way too much. I did not want to do that again. I kept wanting to go down to Dayton and visit the site of the Scopes trial.
In Georgia?
No, it's halfway between Knoxville and Chattanooga. So it's only 50 miles south and then 20 miles west from the interstate.
Okay.
And the farther I got, the tireder I got, but I kept telling myself, you come this far. You know, we had a show on that, you know, the vested interest and the costs.
The sunk cost.
I got about 30 miles away from it. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go home because I don't want to add another hour to where I am. And I'm already tired.
Sure,
but when
sure.
you're 73, you know, it's just, you get tired more easily.
How did you get through the weather? Because like we had scattered storms all.
I never really encountered any on my trip.
Good. Okay, well, that's good. That's good. I mean, I'd hate to see you get stuck somewhere. But like, again, we were talking before the show started.
Well, that's what made it so tiring. It was really hot. Sun was beating down on me all the time. So.
But if only they made like a motorcycle that had like two extra set of wheels so you can't fall over and like
an enclosure.
Yeah. And like doors, maybe like
and air conditioning, maybe.
And maybe like airbags. I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Sounds, I might have to do that next time.
That sounds like two motorcycles strapped together.
Hey, you might be onto something, John. I had a good weekend as well. Like I said, I went out and try to do a lot of things that was losing time in. So I was playing some more music. We had a disc golf mini tournament that I was involved in. Got even. I was really happy about that at a new course. But the cool thing was I got to play on a card. Card is how they break up players. And everybody on the card I already knew. So it was just like being out with your friends. And it was a fun time because I knew all the three other people who were with me. And we were all having a great time. And one of the guys there was like a particularly good friend of mine. I've been over to his place. I've met his parents. I've met his wife. I've seen his kid like slowly grow older from being in diapers to like walking and talking. And we were having a conversation. He pulls me out over to the side. He's like, listen, can I ask you something? And I said, yeah, absolutely. He's like, okay, I don't want you to take this personally, but you're an atheist, right? He's like, yeah, of course I'm an atheist. Like I'm very open about that, right? With my friends. And I knew he was homeschooled, and I also knew like he was very that typically where we live at typically means that you're very much very specifically religious because you don't necessarily have at the fundamental age where you can like build a lot of interpersonal relationships with different people in a public system. You are more or less following whatever your parents say, and that becomes your fundamental appreciation for life. And so he said, "Well, listen, I'm a Christian." Then it surprised me, but like, what do you mean when you say you're an atheist? Because I know there's like different definitions of it. I just want to know where you're coming from at it. And so I explained the whole thing. And, you know, for me, I can break down a couple of sentences. And he's like, okay, that's cool. Because I would rather have my daughter be around you as like an atheist. I think that's a good exposure for her. Mm-hmm. But compared to what she might get from like YouTube or online, or what those people on the news are doing, stuff like that. Like, I'm good she has you as an example. But here's my thing. Here's my bottom line. I'm a Christian. This is my fundamental morals. I think you're a good person. And I just want to let you know that, like, I love you but I won't celebrate what you're about. I won't celebrate atheism. I'm not going to go to your parades. I'm not going to celebrate if it's a federal holiday. I'm not about that. And I'm like,
wait, we have parades?
Yeah. I'm not going to your conventions. If you please don't be too atheist around my daughter or anything like that until I give her a chance to explain what you're about. But like, I think you're a good example either way, but like, give me time to explain. Don't just like be an atheist around her. Like try to like, you know, be as normal or not normal. He didn't say normal, but like try to not be as atheist as possible. I'm like, it's totally fine. So like in my head, I was thinking about that. It got in my head. And I did beat him, by the way, by like four strokes.
Oh.
But like as he was like telling me this, he was just missing putts left and right. He was like trying to hit a putt and he missed it. And he tried to put it. It's like, you should focus on the game. You should focus on the game. But the main thing I was going to say was like,
Christian would have let him win.
I just told him flat out, God loves me more. But the idea that he said, listen, I don't want to go to your conventions. I don't want to celebrate your holidays. I don't want to go to your parades. I don't want to celebrate you. I thought that was a really interesting thing. And I said, I followed up with like, that's fine. And if you ever have questions about, you know, atheism in a nutshell, more than welcome to come to me whenever you feel comfortable with doing it. But I don't know how to turn necessarily not believing in God off. But like we had more small talk afterwards and went back to disc golf. I thought it was an interesting thing though, because there's the idea of like, did I not ask for enough? Is it not fair for me to demand someone to celebrate my atheism or go to our conventions or go to our meetings left and right or attend our podcast?
You kind of lost me when you were saying, you know, don't be atheist enough. Don't be, overtly atheist around my daughter.
Yeah.
Like, does he not see these overt Christians around other children, or your children or atheist children? And does he go to them and say, please don't be overtly Christian around these children?
No, of course not.
He doesn't. He comes to you and tells you that. That's the problem I have.
Right. There's also like he lives right next to a bunch of Amish people. And so, the idea would be I couldn't hang around a bunch of Amish people as an open atheist and be like, hey, let's go play some disc golf. So like, no, you don't respect or believe in our God. And two, we can't come to terms with you because we have a completely different worldview. Plus, you throw plastic. We don't do plastic. And I'm like, I see plastic in your buggies, guys. I know you're not following the rules. You're right. You're driving on our roads that we pay taxes for. Guess how we pay for those? We sell things, and there are things that are made out of plastic. You're benefiting from us, whether you choose to do so or not. Either way, either way, I asked them. Oh, John Richards, did you have any comments on the idea of like, what was the agenda that perhaps this Christian man was alluding to with regard to? Hey, I won't celebrate your atheist celebrations, your holidays, your events, maybe your heroes. Is that fair? Would you have asked for more? Would you have drawn the line anywhere?
I want to row back a bit and point out where he's coming from and why it's all wrong.
Why it's all wrong? Okay.
And it's because atheism ends with ism. So he thinks that it's an ideology. He thinks it's a belief system. He thinks there are values and principles like he has for his ism, which is Christianity. Ianity is another ending like ism. It's applied to belief systems. And so what he doesn't understand is he's expecting us to be like him and have a belief system, whereas atheism is not a belief system. That's exactly what it is. It's I don't believe what you're telling me. That's all it is. And
so well said.
Yeah. So I wanted to say that first of all, but then the reason that he came up with this don't be atheistic around my daughter is because he thinks that we've got attitudes similar to his of tribalism, belonging to our tribe, and demonizing him because he's not in our. We don't do that. He can believe what he likes, whatever. If he wants to believe in the Easter Bunny, that's fine.
Right.
What we don't want is for him to impose his beliefs on us.
Right. Or society in a systemic or administrative level. Like, if you want to believe in heaven, that's fine. You can believe in heaven. But don't, cut health insurance because you think having a heart attack is a good thing. And you don't want to have medication or good quality healthcare for people because paradise is right behind the corner.
Yeah. So
what we will strive for is a good quality of life here with what we can intend with the current test that we have to assess objective reality. And if you have a more supernatural understanding of how the world works, that's fine, but don't let it impact the same objective reality that we're all sharing.
Absolutely. This is not a rehearsal. This is the only life we're going to get. So let's do the best we can while we're here. I want to plug my Global Atheist News because in this week's edition, I've got a clip from some New Zealand Jehovah's Witnesses.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Now, you know the Jehovah's Witnesses are one of the most extreme fundamentalist cults that they're in Christianity.
That's my mom you're talking about, but
sorry. Sorry, Ty's mom.
No, it's fine. Jeez, now you're making it so much harder for her to watch the show that I keep talking about. You know, some of the times when I'm on the show, it's just like, you're not talking about me, are you? It's like, no, we're talking about these religious beliefs, spiritualism, prosperityism, sciences.
Let me tell you about these two people in Clip in New Zealand.
Sure.
Young people, they're cousins, actually. I think the bloke is 21 and she's about 7 years older, but they've escaped from Jehovah's Witness. And of course, the outcome of that is you get shunned.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she tells how she had to suddenly find her feet as a separate, independent individual without the support of a family and friends and colleagues. She was suddenly all on her own. And it's a big challenge to have to do that. But when you've got through that difficult part, you realize that all that you were taught is nonsense. The people out here, not in the JWs, don't hate you. There are some good ones. And this is what got her out of the JWs, because she started questioning. She started going to her church leader and saying, listen, there are good people who are not JWs. Why should they die in the Armageddon? And why shouldn't they be excused like us? And honestly, that's coming to the reality, coming to faith.
What's funny to me, Ty, you know JW better than most of us. Do they believe that it's predestined whether you go to heaven or not?
Yes.
Then I don't understand how they can say, you're with us, you're not with us. If it could be anybody in the world that's predestined to go to heaven, whether they're a part of their religion or not.
So
are
you putting me on trial to try to explain?
Well, I would like, I am curious. And if you can explain it, that would help. But
no,
that's fine.
Yeah. It's kind of the concept of why I have an issue with it. But, the idea could be, well, no one knows what the list is, right? Uh-huh. So without trying, you don't know if you're actually not on the list or not. So
we're going to try.
Not only that, but the people who are on the list potentially, and this is the more radical, this is the more out there, can recruit people to host as hey, I'm on the list of people who will be chosen and I can pick my.
But nobody knows if you're on the list or not.
Nobody knows on the list, but the people who are. Nobody knows on the list. Why are you cross questioning?
I'm trying to make a point.
I'm guilty of not knowing what
he was saying. That's all.
surely the first consideration, the first criterion for being on this invisible list is belonging to the JWs.
Yeah, you would think it'd be the first one, though. They do make a lot of work trying to recruit people, and it's a conflict of. It's a juxtaposition of ideas, isn't it? Of ideologies, where it's we already have a chosen list. Everyone who's been decided has been decided. You would think that would mean, okay, so we don't need to keep recruiting constantly, right? Knocking on people's doors, sending out envelopes, stuff like that. No, because the practice of being a Jehovah's Witness is to share your light. First Timothy, Peter, or something like that, where if you're on light of hill.
First Peter 3:15, I think.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Yes, you are there to advocate. So if you don't advocate, you're not really Jehovah's Witness. And only the true Jehovah's Witnesses can go to the afterlife, and that list has already been decided. So you have to just constantly keep shedding the message of, I'm invited to a party, but you may not be able to come. But here's your invitation, but it might be expired. But here's another invitation. You're just handing out expired invitations for a bulk of your time. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had this follow-up conversation with him because I did have a chance to drive. He drove us. I carpooled with him to the course, and he took us back. When we're in the car, he wanted to do some follow-up talks. And one of them was, hey, I think you're a good person. And it wasn't in spite of your atheism. And I was happy that he didn't say this. I think you're a good person, even though you're an atheist. It's, I think you're a good person and you're an atheist. And I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I want to let him think that out. But I followed up with also, do you think being a Christian automatically makes you a good person? And he says, no, I think there are, in fact, bad people who are Christian.
Whoa.
And I also think that there are good people who aren't Christian. And so I said, then it's not necessarily the case that being a Christian makes you a good person. And he's, this is like some of the first time he's like rationalizing this, but he did follow up with, well, I can't be a good person if I'm a Christian, because if I think I'm good, and we'll talk about this in the next half, because if I think I'm good, then I have pride and ego. Ooh. And that is the root of all evil. So I can't be a good person. And I'm like, no, you are a good person. Larry, what do you think?
No, we've done whole shows on this before. It has nothing to do with whether you're a good person or not to get to heaven.
Thank you.
Yeah. But who, have to believe, you have to accept Jesus, and that's it. You can be any kind of person you want to be, but as long as, and a lot of Christians seem to take that at face value and just act any way they want to say it's God's will and don't care. But as long as they believe, they accept Jesus as their
You can get in with being a terrible person as long as you accept Jesus, and that's basically
at the last minute. Right. The last minute, you don't have to accept him earlier. You're going to accept him on your deathbed.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I'm more interested in the good people, honestly. Why is that why is that not as popular? I like good people. I like hanging around good people. I said that. It's like, I also said this too. There are Christians who would not be friends with an atheist.
Yeah.
And you are a person who's good enough to see past someone's like lack of religion or color of their skin or even sexuality. Like, regardless, you like are a really cool guy. He's like, I like to see people and see them past. It's like, okay, that's cool. But the people who don't do that and who are Christian can cite in their Bible why they don't get along with the other people. And he's like, well, that's a problem because it's how they're interpreting the gospel. It's like, it's a literal interpretation. It's like black and white. Yeah, but there's a relationship that I have in my heart. And like, I'm aware of the wiggle room he was giving himself. My main takeaway is I'm glad you're the kind of Christian that could be set an example for other Christians of how to interact with people and to how to ask good questions. I want there to be more Christians like you. And I don't have a problem with you being a Christian, but I want more Christians to take an opportunity to ask these kinds of questions. Like, Christians and atheists alike. It's like, everybody should be asking questions and getting along with people. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah. When I sit out in public, you know, with an ask an atheist sign, I like to have several reasons printed up that I can answer the question. Why are you doing this? Because they always ask me that. Why are you sitting out here trying to impress non-beliefs on everybody? Well, first of all, I'm not trying to press it. I'm here as a resource in case people want to come up and talk to me and ask me questions. Yeah. I'm not out there knocking on doors or giving away, you know, literature to people on the street. But one of the reasons I'm out there, I've forgotten my rant. I forgot.
Well, while you're thinking what to say, I think what we are trying to do is clear our names of all the doo-doo that has been attached to it. You know, I mean, we wouldn't have to ask an atheist if they hadn't got this jaundiced view.
Right. Remember what I was going to say.
About what atheists are like.
Because... Why? The people who are representing what we are and who we are, generally the religious leaders of the church or whatever, that are telling the people in the pews, you know, atheists are bad people. You know, how can you possibly be good if you don't believe in Jesus? You know, that type of thing. And that's one of my main reasons. And I usually thank them for coming and talking to me and trying to get an answer directly from an atheist, which is a point you were making earlier, Ty.
Thank you.
Demonizing us, for heaven's sake, just stop demonizing.
Exactly. Maybe that's what we want as our end game. We'll go into this more in the second half, but like the idea of maybe the only thing we want is to stop being demonized and chastised, and we'll accept your tolerance. You know, maybe you guys in the second half can tell me where all these parades and events and conventions are happening, because I do know there's some of them. I spoke at a couple of them. But as far as celebrations, we'll go into it in the second half of the show. Larry, why don't you take us out?
Okay. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
Brothers and sisters, have you heard the news? The storm has lifted and there's nothing to lose. So swap your confirmation for your dancing shoes, because there never was no God. Step out of the darkness and onto the streets. Forget about the fast, let's have a carnival feast. Raise up your lowered head and hear the liberation beat, because there never was no God. And there is no God. So clap your hands together. There is no God. No heaven and no hell. There is no God. We're all in this together. There is no God. So ring that priest. No waiting until we die, until we restitute the meek. No blaming all our failings on imaginary beasts, because the devil was no God. The fighting of a land your distant fathers told you of. No spilling blood for those who never spread a drop of love. The finger pointing justified by phantoms up above, because the devil was no God.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Freethought Radio Hour. I'm Dotter Five, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's just take a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 21st year now, have over 1,000 members. We have weekly in-person meetings if you'd like to come down and talk to us every Tuesday evening in Knoxville Soul City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top table, or if it's pretty weather, outside on the deck. You can find us online on Facebook, meetup.com, or at our website, knoxvilleatheist.org. Or you can Google Knoxville Atheists, just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Mm. Don't find one. Start one. Right. Where are you want to pick up there, Wombat?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick up on the ride back home that I had with my friend who is a Christian who wanted to ask me some questions about atheism and let me know that he wasn't going to celebrate it, but he was happy that he knew that I was a good person, not in spite of my atheism, but in conjunction with it. And it was an enlightening concept for him. I asked, you know, there was time in the drive back for me to just, you know, ask. I don't ask these things. Christians just like to sometimes throw them out as like you're just a weird little like green tiger that's sitting next to me in my car. I got to ask you what it's like to be a green tiger and like how I can explain my worldview. As an atheist, when you're out and especially in Tennessee in the South, be prepared for just people explaining why they believe in God at you and like having like good follow-up. So he was explaining, listen, I just, you know, from my worldview, I just don't, it makes sense to me that when I look out at the world, that everything here was just completely, you know, immaculately put together. My Sunday school teacher said, if you put a 747, if you put all the parts for a 747 out in the middle of the desert and you explode, you blow them all up, there's no way that plane's coming back together again. Yet you look at the world and everything's completely functioning. It makes more sense to me that either God made everything or it's a complete random explosion. And I'm asking like, who told you it was a random explosion? It's like, well, I'm not saying anyone said that. I'm just saying it makes more sense to me that it has to be God. I'm like, how do you know those are the only two options? What method are you using to figure that out? He's like, well, I don't think, I'm not saying it's the only two options. I'm just saying it makes more sense to me. So like all I'm doing in my mind is getting to his first methodology that he's using to assess how his conclusions are true, because I'm not going to attack the conclusion. I'm going to attack the methodology that he's using to link his identity to the conclusions that he has. And so I'm hitting the top layers of the onion until we get to the first methodology statement. It makes sense to me. And I said, is it, so you're saying it makes sense to you and that's why you believe? It's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, is that a reliable way to come to a true conclusion? He's like, well, I think so. And I said, that's fair. If I brought in a Muslim or a person that believed in Jehovah's Witness, because we were talking about that too, and they said, it makes sense to me that my God is the one that made everything. Do you think that's something they would say? And he's like, no, that's something they would say. They're all very different conclusions, very different gods. He's like, yeah, that's very true. Their gods are not true. Then what does it say about the method that you're using if it can come to radically different conclusions by people who earnestly are following what makes sense to them? Because if I step on your gas pedal, that's a reliable way for the car to move forward as long as there's gas in the tank. Your daughter can step on that gas pedal. You can step on the gas pedal. We can all use the same method to come to the same the outcome. But the method that you're using for the most important decision in your life, right? Whether or not you believe in this God, is so potentially unreliable that anybody else can use that same method and arrive at a completely different conclusion. What does that say about your interest in trying to figure out something that's actually true? And he was quiet for a long time about this. Good friend. He is thoughtful. He didn't like, you know, overtalk me. And he finally said, well, you know, I don't know everything. But exactly, right? But there may not be a good method. And I'll just finish the story real quick. I'm sorry. I said, yeah. He's like, there may not always be a good method for something, Ty. And I was like, that's true. But when I run into that situation, what I do is I just say, I don't know.
Larry. Nothing shameful about that.
Right. No, there's a meme going around the internet. And
you want to talk about
there's me. One or two, I'm That's, sure.
I'm so glad you didn't let me interrupt my story.
No, it's says you can't. People who are basing their beliefs on things that are not rational cannot be cannot be reasoned with. You can't reason with a person who's irrational. But I feel that all of us, I mean, I used to believe, you used to believe, Ty.
Same.
John, yes, you were always an atheist. But I mean, it happens every day that people get argued out of irrational beliefs. And we need to fight against that concept if we can. People do get argued out of their beliefs all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to touch on the proposal of having parades and conventions, because I do that. I don't do parades, but I stage gatherings and put on shows where I have very academic, top expert speakers, and I invite people, and they come, and we have a good time. There's an auction, there's food, you know. We're meeting together like-minded, kindred spirits, you know. But we're not proclaiming any doctrine. We're not saying you must believe this, that, or the other. In fact, I had a really good unsolicited review from the last event that we held in London from this lady who said, I actually attended. I'm one of the few people who was privileged to attend this wonderful, magical event. And she goes on to say that all the speakers were very good and, to my surprise, extremely humble. Well, why is she surprised? It's quite normal for people, the speakers included Lawrence Krauss and Richard Dawkins, and she was surprised that these people are humble. Well, why? Because people who accept that they don't have all the answers, you'd expect them to be humble. It's the dogmatic ones who claim to have the answers that are hubristic. It's the other way around from what she expected. Anyway, I'm staging another one of these events in September in the Midlands. This is, I was talking about this last time we were together. It's near Birmingham, which is not Alabama, but in the Midlands of England. And the reason I do it is not to promote atheism, because it's actually atheism-t.
Ah.
And what I do is I try to overcome the ignorance.
Don't coin a new term that I think Christians are going to take that one day and make a website out of. It's like, where are the atheisms? Go on, Ed, I'm sorry.
So what I'm trying to do is dispel the ignorance that makes people come to the decision, like your carpool friend did, that it makes sense to me.
Right.
It shouldn't make sense to you specifically. Mm. It should be out there for everyone to see and come to a conclusion about.
Yes, it's a weak basis. And listen, it's nothing wrong for having something that makes sense to you. Like if I turn on a light switch, I understand how light switches work. That makes sense to me. Like that's fair. But the problem is it's not the most reliable way to reach a conclusion. No. Yeah. And if it's the most important decision in my life or the most important relationship in my life, I would love to have a higher quality or a higher standard of methodology to reach that conclusion. Yeah. Because clearly people could have different reasons for why it makes sense to them that a light switch works, but the light switch is still going to work. So like, it's more important for me not to have an assumption that's based off of a reality, but rather have like an in-depth understanding that I can test. Where we can test our different understandings of how light switch work and actually knock down the ones that do and don't. And that way, if I'm wrong, because I care about being right, I can correct myself to the most accurate methodology that's out there and not just rely on, well, it makes sense to me. It's like, no, I actually tested it against other hypotheses that are out there. And we actually found something that's an accurate model for how light switches actually work. If we do it for light switches and we can do it for cars, let's do it for God as well. There's no reason not to.
You only have to look back in history to see that a lot of things that once made sense to people.
Yeah, yes.
You know, the earth is flat, the sun goes round it, you know, heavy items will fall faster than light ones, iron ships will sink. It goes on and on and on. There's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Right.
This is all examples of how making sense to you not a good technique for coming to a reliable conclusion.
Absolutely true. I mean, I think back on like germ theory, just the idea of like, oh, germs don't exist. What are you talking about? Tiny little animals that live in my hands? Animals are big things that are in grasses. Now, excuse me while I go give birth. I'm a doctor. I don't need to wash my hands. There's the other fun thing where I asked, so after we got rid of it makes sense to me, we asked, I went down one extra layer. You know, typically faith is the number one core, but I let the people walk me there and it was a short car ride. So the next layer that we got to was, well, it's when I just look at the world, it looks designed to me. Like this world just seems designed. And I wanted to dwell on that a bit. It's like, what do you mean by designed? It's like, well, it just looks super complicated. Like you look at, you know, how grass grows and then the animals eat the grass and then they fertilize the grass. Like there's just such a level of complexity there that it has to be designed. It's just so intricate. Like it would take forever for someone to like build that. It's so complicated. And I'm like, how do we recognize design? And I asked that in two parts. The first one was, I asked, why do you recognize design? One, to understand what he means by design, but also what methodology he's using to recognize if something actually is designed. And he said, well, if it's really complicated, it's designed. And I followed up with, you know, if I had two light bulbs, one that took one step to screw into a hole, and the other one takes 1,000 steps to screw into a hole, but they both make the same light, they both cost the same. Which of the two light bulbs was better designed? And he's like, well, obviously the first one that only takes one step is like, yeah, because it's more simple. What we value in designing and engineering is simplicity. I could put an extra engine in this car and get more or less the same horsepower, or I make set it up so it gets the same horsepower. But why would I add an entirely different extra moving part to a vehicle if I can get away with the same horsepower with just one engine? You know, like we always strive for simplicity in things. Simplicity is the hallmark of design, not complexity. And he's like, well, it's simple It looks simple to God. And I'm like, you have an extra nipple. You don't need your body has extra parts. But I didn't want to dwell on that a little bit more. Instead, I said, you know, would you like to know how I recognize design? And that way I'm not just like forcing you down like a series of questionings. I said, I recognize design by comparing them to things that aren't designed. Yeah. And so I said, like, if I gave you a smartphone watch and a rock, I would say, I can compare these two things and see that there's actually manufacturing logos on one and like components that come from different areas. Whereas this rock seems to be like one homogenous thing that's created in nature that we can like observe and verify where it even came from, maybe even fit it back into its original location. Whereas all these parts are desperately processed from many, many different sources. Like I can go to the factories where these things are made. And he's like, yeah, because rocks aren't designed and smartwatches are designed. But my follow-up was that is, well, if you believe this whole universe was created and designed, you don't have a frame of reference for something that's not designed. It's like
the rock should have been designed in that story.
You're looking at everything and saying everything's a design, but you don't have a frame of reference for what something that isn't designed is. It's like you went into your clothing drawer and pulled out a shirt and said, this is a sock. By the way, I'm very confident that this is a sock, even though you're pointing at a shirt. By the way, I don't know what things that aren't socks look like. You know, I don't have a frame of reference. It's like, well, then you can't claim that things are one way or the other until you know what an example of something is and what something isn't is, right? And when he understood that, he's like, well, God is my thing that isn't designed or created. And I'm like, well, do you have a way to test God? He's like, no, I can't test God. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's like, well, until then, you can see why someone who is, from my perspective, trying to understand what you mean when you claim things are the case, why I can struggle with intellectual honesty, recognizing that you may not necessarily have a frame of reference to make the claims validated or justified. He's like, no, that makes sense. Again, I don't know everything. I'm like, that's fine. That's fully fine. I'm in a situation like that. I just generally say, I don't know. And that's generally what atheism is. It's like, I don't have enough information to be convinced that this belief is true.
So no.
I don't believe it. Yes. Nor do I know if it's true. But my atheism is fueled by my agnosticism. And we had talked about those definitions before.
So a coconut is natural. Okay. But the two halves of a coconut that you use to make the sounds of a horse clopping, they're designed.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, the weird thing is, I am willing to say that I don't identify as an atheist. I don't know if that's fair for everybody else on the show, but atheist is just a characteristic of a state of being that I'm in right now. It's a way to describe where I'm at, but I don't identify with it with like a like any more than just saying like, it's my default state until one of these religions come along and actually convince me that their God is true. Until then,
I have misgivings.
I'm willing to abandon it, but I'm in a position where no one's making a good argument. I'm not telling you guys you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't believe you.
You've not met your burden of proof.
I've had misgivings for many years about the word atheist, because of course being demonized means that we have even less respect in the community than estate agents, for example.
Wow.
Or politicians. But if there was a word lack theism, I'd go for that.
Ooh.
Because that's all, or go back to my, you know, atheism. That would be my preferred label.
Yeah, it's a shame, because like a lot of the terms that I follow now that best describe me all deal with not doing something that's very popular by other people, right? And when you say you're an atheist, it doesn't tell you anything else about you other than a lack of belief, but it doesn't say about the things that you do believe in. And I feel like it puts unnecessary focus on the lack of a belief in a particular religious claim than it does the fact that everybody doesn't believe 99.9% of most God beliefs that are out there. So like, why are we making that one distinction on that one extra God that most people believe in? And the guy I was carpooling with was also very honest with like, you know, listen, when you love people are versus like, I understand that I don't believe in Thor, Jehovah Witness, Muslim, like I only believe in one more God than you. Like, I get that. It doesn't sound like he's coming to term. He also understands, based on where I was born, my geopolitical location will dictate what I believe. And I understand that I'm teaching my daughter XYZ so that she can have a good path forward. Like, I understand that could be fundamental too. He's asking good questions, but my end goal is not for him to become an atheist. My end goal for most Christians, in fact, is not to become an atheist. It's just for them to tolerate the fact that atheism does exist, and that it's an okay state to be in, and to understand what it actually is.
Okay.
And they don't have to celebrate it. They don't have to come to our meetings or conventions, but they can at least not dictate how society operates in a way that affects
or demonizes.
Yeah,
that would be one of them too. Yeah, or you know, like don't chastise them. Rule policies that are against, you know, what we're trying to do.
So I put a 3-point list into the chat that we had on the way here.
Okay.
I wanted theists to stop miseducating our children. I want our children to be better prepared for life than to be told myths, you know, to believe in. And I want them to keep their faith-based opinions out of government. There's an interesting example of this in my global atheist news again, because in Australia, they don't have many problems. I'm hoping that you're going to talk with me about this later on.
Sure.
Right. They don't have many problems, but one they have is that in the state of Victoria, they have banned opening their council meetings with prayers. So what they do instead is they have a minute silence when they individually think about whatever they want. You know, if it's a belief system, they can do that in their heads. But if they just want to commemorate those who have died fighting for their country or whatever, that's what that minute is for. It's silent. Okay. So what happened in this particular meeting was one of the councillors grabbed the silence and started praying loudly. And he was soundly told off. But
good.
The other things that I don't want them to influence government with their faith-based ideas. I want them to keep their faith-based ideas out of government. And
that would be great. That's one of the main things I'm saying. I would love to have it. I don't mind having a religious president or religious prime minister, but I don't want their religion to affect my life. Like right now we have a religious president, but he's not making policies. As far as I'm aware, he's not making policies that are directly saying you need to go to Catholic school.
And he's not. Interestingly, on the prime minister front, our current prime minister is a Hindu.
Ooh, interesting. That's awesome.
So we've got four things that we want with our end goals. Don't demonize us.
Yes.
Don't govern us with your belief system. Correct. Don't tell our children nonsense. And the final one is...
You said this was a 3-point list.
Yeah, I've added one. It was Larry's don't demonize us. It's got to be in there.
Yeah. Play nice. I can't count.
Atheists can't count. Surely you know that. But the final one is...
the fine print. Yeah.
The final one is probably the best. It is... keep your noses out of our genitalia.
I love that. I can throw out one reason why I love this so much. I came to an understanding over like the last couple of weeks after our conversations and had some time to think about this, that most people in the world are biological male or biological female. Like you're going to fall into one of those two categories. However, there is also a very valid category in between of a cornucopia of different kinds of intersex people. By intersex, I mean people who have like ambiguous genitalia to people who are phenotypically male, but they were born and they're in birth made twins, or like they became a twin and then they refused again. And so they are phenotypically male, but they're hybrids where maybe their pancreas or their liver has female chromosomes in it, but they look male, but parts of their body, because they fused from like another embryo. It's so crazy how there's so much different forms of humanity. In between these two seemingly or apparent binary states, there is just as much of a valid spectrum, if you will, of intersex people in between. And what's really cool is that category has been inundated with a lot of pestering from religious points of views from saying, oh, your genitalia looks male enough, but there's something wrong with it. Let's cut it off non-consensually, or let's modify this people, put them on hormone therapy so they can appear as what a female should look like. And it's caused the people who are on these more, they're just caught in between what is essentially just nature, to abide by standards of what a man or a woman should be from a physicality point of view. And the kids never asked for that. And so we're at a point now where some of those kids can, like, and I guess in America, file lawsuits. But I feel like if we were to just come to a better understanding of, like, the science of the empathy, as we were talking about in previous shows, and recognize that, you know, on an individual level, we can, like, assess where someone's coming from and recognize that these differences aren't necessarily harmful, and recognize that it could just be an accepted category of its own, and that now everything falls into the first models that we set everything, set everybody up for. I would love to see something like that. But yeah, keep their noses out of the people's genitalia. It's okay if someone has, like, an extra finger. Like, don't amputate that off. It's okay. It's not going to be a big deal. It's okay if someone has, like, a light, I don't know, like a thick eyebrow, a baby with thick eyebrows. Like, no, she's female. She needs to have her eyebrows shaved off. Let's start surgery to, like, reshape her or the structure of her forehead. There's some really crazy stories that are out there, but largely involving genitalia. And I'd just be more accepting if we had less of a puritanical point of view on these things and just let people be who they are. What do you think, John Richards?
I'm bursting again.
Talk to me.
So you mentioned the six finger syndrome. Do you know where that is most common?
It's
in the Mennonites, because they marry their cousins. They're not allowed to outbreed.
It's typically small pockets of people who don't go out and marry more people and bring more people into their genetic. They get more and more fingers.
The other thing you mentioned is chimeras, where one twin has absorbed a few cells of the other and is actually partly one person and partly another person, but made in the shape of one person. And the incidence of that, there's only ever been 100 confirmed cases in humans.
So in my opinion, the lengths that it takes to confirm a case doesn't necessarily represent the total number of potential cases that could be. That's still 100 value. That's still 100 people of value. And it's still part of, in my mind, a continuum of a variety of different kinds of stories of people who are caught in between. And I wouldn't say those chimeras should go through surgery to remove the body parts that don't have the proper chromosomal patterns and be replaced with something that's more apparent for or proper for their sexual basis. It's like, it's fine. If you're intersex, that's totally cool. I'd say let that just be, it's a part of what a beautiful understanding of humanity is, and recognize that that's a natural part of nature. And I would never say, and I would say this too, I would never say that it's the what's in between is proportional to what's on the edge. It's clear to me that most people fit in the category of male and female, but I do think that there is a continuum or a spectrum in between. And we should recognize that the system of sex, at least from my point of view, is not one or the other, but actually aspects of both in a much more nuanced model.
Nobody has any authority to say that you're acceptable and you're not. That's ridiculous.
I love that. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Not even God. Larry, sorry for taking us long. What? Any final thoughts before we should wrap up the show?
Visit Free Thought Productions. See my latest videos.
Nice. Very cool. Larry?
Excellent. What about you, Ty?
Listen, if you are beating a Christian at disc golf, the way how you rub it in is if you make your putt, you look at him dead in the eyes and you just say, God just loves me more than you. That's all there is.
Oh, that's bad. This program does not condone.
Get in their head.
Yeah. It's anyway, my content can be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button when you get there for a radio show, archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. My YouTube channel handle is at Doubter5, and you can find my book, Atheism, What's It All About, on Amazon. If you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, and a lot of people do, you can get help from recoveringfromreligion.org. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here on WOZO Radio. Say bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.